Gentlemen and Disappointments. We are coming to you live from the Woman Caves in New York and Connecticut. My name is Leslie.
And my name is Melissa.
And we are Verbally Disastrous. This podcast is copyrighted through the U.S. Copyright Office as well as the Writers Guild of America. Hello, everyone. This is your host, Leslie M. Jasper, of the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on over 20 podcast platforms, including YouTube. Now, this is Part B, Episode 44, Tramping in Cali. Now, this is the second part of the discussion where I chat with Brian about his adventures while working as a journeyman electrician out in California. If for some reason you missed part A, the beginning of the discussion, head back into the podcast platform of your choice and look for part A. For now, if you're ready for part B, let's check out what Brian and I have to say. Let's take a listen. What time of the year did you have to do the work over the water on the bridge?
Oh, that started in the summer. I got there in the summer and they went through the summer. And it was bad because it was just steel up, so there was no cover. Oh. So it was summer into the winter time. But I kind of left that job by winter time, and then I was doing other work. So
thank God.
Yeah, I know. It was a rough job, but it was fun. It was fun. We had a nice crew. Everybody had a good time.
Do you happen to remember where we first met? I probably thought it was school.
I think it was school. Yeah, I know it wasn't the track. I knew you before then. But I think it was just school coming and going. But I guess we got more close at the track, I would say, because we were, you know, I would see you a lot.
Yeah, breaking each other's balls. It's what I do.
Yeah.
You know, Porno Paul, I guess, is working with my son. He's old Tom. He goes, "Your mom likes to break balls relentlessly."
Do you remember a good Brian? I was bad Brian. And
yes.
Good Brian.
Yeah.
Talked to him in a while.
I haven't seen him in a while, but he was a funny dude. Do you remember a funny story where we were all, like, you and I were involved? I know there was many. We used to make fun of Muffin Top, and my son actually ran into Muffin Top.
Oh, really? Nice.
So I told him, I don't know if you remember, where I talked him, because I usually talk people into fucking foolery. I think I have a video somewhere in my computer that I have to find. And it was like an old grainy video because it was from 2012 when cell phones weren't really...
just coming out like brand new.
Yeah. It was a muffin. We talked them into doing the muffin dance.
The muffin dance, right.
Do you remember? He was like taking the paper and like pretending like he's pulling it away from like the bottom of his legs. I was howling. I thought that shit was so funny.
I tell you. It's so nice to have those moments, you know? You
had Artie, who used to sleep in the closet, and he was on the wire pull. He's sitting there with the walkie-talkie, and the two HVAC guys, the two tin knockers, are like, "Oh, your motherfucker, you guys sleeping."
Yes, I remember Marty. He would just fall out. You could talk to him, he'd fall out, you know? He was on the bridge with us for a minute.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was on the bridge. A couple of guys came, and you had some guys that came... and they were going to work. Like, one guy I had to go get one time, and they were like, "Brian, bring him onto the bridge." And man, I walked to that guy to the side of the bridge because we had to go down on the side of the bridge on an extension ladder. So about a good 20 feet, there's nothing. Like, if you step off, you go into the water. The guy looked like, "No, thank you. I'll take my money right now." And we're like, he's not going to do it. He's a little nervous. I said, "You sure?" I says, "You got anything else for him?" I says, "You sure this guy?" I tried to talk to him a little bit, say, "Hey, man, you want to give it a shot? I'll be down there." And he says, no. I said, "Okay, man." I says, "Well, let's take you back to the office."
Man, we worked, I want to say it was Yonkers Raceway 2012 to 2014. How far after that did you decide, let me go out to California? And what was your thought process prior to just deciding to go there?
Well, no, I left the track. I was only there for like maybe 18. We stayed the longest. Me and Mike wound up staying the longest because they actually kept us after, and then we went just to regular jobs. When I left there and went to the regular jobs, then after a while, we just got laid off. After that, I went to the DEP in Harlem, Department of Environmental Protection.
Yep.
Worked in Harlem and worked in the city for Local 3. I went back to Local 3, worked in Manhattan for a bit, and then got to the bridge. So I worked on the bridge maybe over a year or so. I think it's going on my second. I had a nice gig over there. I was doing the security. It was just me. And towards the end, they would give me people, but towards the end, I had another guy who I kind of chose to take on. If you know Charlie Bunker.
You know what? I'm better with faces, but I always feel like people remember me first. Because it's not too many tricks.
Yeah, he came on. And I went through the whole year. I went through all the season. Then February. I remember February, I just said, you know what, man, I'm leaving. Enough's enough. So I talked to the super. I said, listen, I want to leave. I want to go travel. He was like, all right. And I'll tell you, they liked me over there. A lot of guys, they were given a hard time to leave because of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was like, yeah, you're cool, man. You did right by us, so we'll give you the layoff. A good layoff. So I was like, all right, cool, man. So they honored their word and had my layoff. And when I got my layoff, I left that day. It was actually, I didn't know about where I wound up at, pretty much, like San Mateo area. That's where I was working at Local 617. I had no clue about it. I went to LA first. That's where I wanted to go. So I wound up in Los Angeles, stayed there for a couple of days, went to the beach, and their work picture was very slow. So I just I just typed in my phone, IBWs, up the coast and up north, and that's all I did. I just hit everyone, and I wound up getting on the books. People had work, but it was like, oh, you got to come back. So I was like, okay. So I wound up going to San Mateo, and I stayed in their Airbnb, and I signed the book. The guy put me out that same day. It was weird. Well, it was good, but I didn't expect that. So he was like, I can send you out today, or you can go tomorrow. I said, let me go tomorrow because I'm just getting in town.
What year did you actually go out there?
2018.
Oh, yeah, okay. 2018. I don't know why. I thought it was earlier.
It might have been 17 or 18. No, it was 17. 2017, I'm sorry. I know it was February, so say 2017.
Okay.
And that's when I got out. So I got out to work right there.
Describe your first job. What was it like? People and everything.
The first job was actually, it was chaotic. I went to this company, and the company was CBF. That's what they were called. It was actually across the street from YouTube's headquarters. I don't know who this company was, but it was chaotic. They were trying to finish. It was the last phase. So there was a ton of people there, and they put me in this electric room. I'm working next to a guy. It was so funny. They put me next to this guy called Gary. I go to him, and he don't know where I'm from right there. I said, what's up, man? How you doing? So-and-so. He was like, where are you from? I was like, I'm from the Bronx. He's like, oh, man, I'm from Brooklyn. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I said, of all the guys, I'm working with some guy from Brooklyn. But he lived in California for a good majority of his life. But the job was, it was just like a typical office job. We were just doing panels, and they were roughing. It was just like that. You could stay as late as you wanted because they were just trying to get it done. They had a week time. But they were very nice job. Believe it or not, I ran into a lot more travelers than I did local hands.
Really?
So, yeah, there were a lot of travelers up here, a lot. And I've worked with a handful of local hands, but I tell you, the travelers, I've met a lot of people from like Houston, Midwest, Chicago. Actually, there are a lot of travelers from within the state of California. A lot of guys don't stay in their local out here because some of the work, there's not a lot of work in some of these locals. And you got to think, California is massive.
I mean,
if you think about it, it's like multiple states on the East Coast. It's like combining New York, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Florida.
Wow.
So you got a lot of guys coming. I work with guys from L.A., guys from literally across the border. If I could compare it, it's like working with guys from Jersey, Jersey. Yeah, so they all come, and a lot of them wind up in 617, Local 6, which is San Francisco or San Jose. They go to those areas, and they were booming. There was a lot of work. I mean, I worked straight, and I signed a book. I was out within a day. It was crazy like that.
Are there tax benefits to doing the traveling?
Not anymore. There was. I know when I started traveling, there was none. Like, you couldn't write the hotels off anymore. I know that all stopped. I don't know if it's back on, because I don't do it. I'm not using hotels anymore. So
yeah.
At the time when I went, you couldn't do it. You used to, and then whoever was in presidency at the time, whatever, they, either change that law. I don't know if it was even clothing or gas.
Probably. He's the last one who did the major tax code change. A standard blanket itemization, right? Whereas you used to itemize your own stuff and maybe it would be better. But I think my tax person said that the standard itemization was better than the old, say, if you didn't have anything to write off.
Right, I guess so, yeah, so I didn't benefit in any way from that. But I had stayed in one spot. I lucked out because when I stayed in this Airbnb, and it was in a perfect spot, it was in a place called Half Moon Bay, which is a beautiful part of California. It's right on the coast, on the Pacific Highway, and I'm right on the beach. The person that I was staying with, it was funny because when I showed up there, there was another IBEW guy, but he worked in Hollywood, out of the Hollywood local. He was just the stagehand, what they call it, grifters, I think, or gaffers. I don't know what they call that. But he worked on sets, movie sets and Broadway shows, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were passing, like I was taking his room and he was leaving. So it was so funny how we just got to talking. And he says, oh, I'm an IBEW too. I'm like, really? I says, I am too. I'm with the local. So in any case, I took his room over. They liked me over there. So they were like, hey, listen, we'll take this Airbnb off the market if you're going to stay here. So I said, I'll stay here for a month. So I had a place to stay for a month. It was nice. I didn't have to go searching.
Did you have any roommates?
No. Let me tell you, I lucked out. Nobody was in the house. It was so funny. Like, nobody booked this house at all. For the time, I guess it wasn't like high peak tourist season.
Okay.
When I was kind of nearing the end, another guy came in, but he stood in the garage. But it was cool. This guy was the head pastry chef for the Ritz-Carlton, which is on the water. It's a very high-end hotel. So he came from Puerto Rico, actually. So it's another Spanish guy. And he wound up coming actually from Puerto Rico to work for Ritz-Carlton. And got to meet him, and it was an interesting guy, very, very nice. So you run into so many interesting people during these travels, which is very nice. It's good because you see where they come from, and I saw his work, what he does. He does those very high-end, very small little pastries that are very detailed.
Wow.
And I asked him one day if he needed a ride to work. He was like, no, I take my bike. It was a pretty long ride, but he said, I like my bike. Why do you do that for? He says, As I'm riding down the coast, I pick flowers. He says, as I pick the flowers, I get my inspiration for the day. I get my designs for the day. I get my colors for the day. So I know what I'm going to do.
Sounds like an interesting fella.
Yeah. He was nice. He actually wound up going to Miami. He left eventually, and he wound, because I keep in touch with him, and he wound up in Miami for a head pastry chef position for, I think, the Wyndham Hotel. So he deals with big-time hotels. He's not like the pastry chef at the Red Roof Inn.
I was going to say, do they even have a pastry chef at the Red Roof? Imagine they did, and then they let me know, listen, stop shitting on us. We have a pastry chef.
I know. I hope nobody from the Red Roof Inn hears this. They might.
I will apologize greatly if someone does reach out.
I know, there goes my continental breakfast.
I know, right? You totally owes me. I'm going to ask one question. The food, any Spanish food that you've ever tried while you're in California, has anyone ever attempted Puerto Rican cuisine, and does it remind you of New York?
I have heard, I found a place that did it, that cooked it in San Francisco. It's in a place called Hayton Ashbury. It's a very famous spot by the park. But I never got to go in and check it. But my friend, who another electrician, a local guy, his name's Teo, he's Spanish as well. He's from Puerto Rico. And he told me that's the spot to go if you want good food. So I trust him. I never got to go there. The other thing I haven't found is really good pizza. Pizza is very rare. There's pizza here, don't get me wrong, but it's more like Domino's.
Yeah, like California style, right? Obviously.
Yeah. There's another spot, too. Actually, you can find this same guy who I told you about, who told me about the Spanish restaurant, also told me about there's a pizza spot in Manhattan, not in Manhattan, in San Francisco. Actually, the same thing. I went and checked it out, but every time I go check these spots out, either they're closed or it's like I've already eaten.
Yeah.
So, but this place looked like your typical old school pizza spot in New York, you know, where it's like open, it just got the little seating, it's not big, it's very small. It reminded me, and the smell was right, it was on point. So I said, okay, they look like it. I said, they got the big slices. So
it's on your to-do list?
Yeah, what was that again?
It's on your to-do list?
It is. I got to get back there and go. But there is a lot of Mexican food out here. You will find every Mexican restaurant in the world here.
I'm sure.
It's either Mexican or, you know, American dining, like burgers. And Thai food. There's a lot of Thai food.
Wow.
A lot of people from that area, a lot of them that have come here, migrated here, mm-hmm. immigrating, and families. And you see a lot of them, a lot of Asian, Chinese. I guess they would fall into Asian too. But
yeah,
a lot of that going on. A lot of Mexican, a lot of Spanish. It's pretty much diverse. A little different from what we're used to in New York, but it is diverse. I will say that.
Now, the thing that I envision is the tents, like San Francisco, lined up with tents out on the street and homeless people all in it. Is that an accurate depiction?
There are areas where they have that. Believe it or not, it's in some of the areas where you wouldn't expect to see it. But you got to be careful. There are a lot of homeless in the area. There are a lot of tents you see on the highways, like on the side of the highways. You will see that. So what they seem to do is they congregate in certain areas. Certain parts of San Francisco, I remember walking to the Union Hall, and I was just walking the streets. And I would consider this street, which is called, I believe, Market Street, which is where all the trains and everything run above ground. It's your main strip. And there are certain blocks that I hit where there was a lot of homeless. Some of the homeless were very aggressive. Not so much that they would come and touch you or try to hit you. I'm sure some have tried to, but they would get in your face or scream at you from a distance, like, hey, you know, they'd just be a little nuts. So I've seen that a lot. A couple of people have told me, yeah, you got to watch. They're just a little aggressive. Sometimes we just go across the street. But they do hang out there. There's a lot of that going on. I hear L.A. has a little more.
Would that be exclusive to Skid Row in L.A.?
Yeah, probably, because I think they just have it strategically all over the place. Just like San Francisco has it. As you're driving on the highways, a lot of them hang out on the underpath, you know, underneath.
Yeah.
They'll set up shop there, or any place that seems to be deserted, you'll see them set up shop there, and it'll be a lot of them.
Wow.
Also, to like where I lived at initially, Pacifica and San Francisco, a little bit outside of the city, if you were coming into like a quieter area, they're a little more van friendly. If you want to call it that, people with trailers and vans. It's not like the East Coast. A lot of guys, I noticed where I lived, I was by the beach, so a lot of guys had vans that they just always parked on the street, and then they would just live there. You knew after a while, like, the van never moved, and they would set up shop there, and then they would move eventually. The cops would come and move them, but they weren't ruining the place.
Like, I was going to say, there's no personal toilet out on the sidewalk?
No, I'd say the worst is maybe sometimes they throw their piss on the sidewalk, not throw it, like, empty it out. You're like, okay. But I think these guys had places where they would go. There was this one guy who I found interesting. He had a van, his own van, and then he had, like, a really nice Charger, brand new. And he would go to work. Like, his clothes were, I saw him. He would get out his van, go in the morning, had his clothes pressed, and he had his uniform for whatever job he did. And he would go to work and come back. I would see him park sometimes, because I always hang out on the beach sometimes too. Yeah, you just chill out. You get to see these cars and these vans always in the same spot. So people were doing that. And then I would see them. They would move to the next town, which wasn't too far away. They'd go there, and then they'd move up a hill somewhere. So they always go to where all the vantage point, or like where everyone would go hang out at. They would always go, I spend the week here, I'll spend the week there, so the cops don't bother them.
You, as a gypsy, I would think you would like that whole van life.
I think it's beautiful. You know, I have a family, so unfortunately, I told them, y'all can't fit in this van. So I guess we're going to have to get a place. But we had a nice spot, actually. Literally, my bedroom window, I could see the water. So all I had to do was walk out. So it was nice.
Why the hell did you leave then?
Well, COVID hit, and she had an opportunity. Her job allowed her to work from home indefinitely. So he said, hey, why are we paying so much rent here? They're paying a lot of rent. That's one thing about here.
So like the beach.
No. That's the funny thing. And that's why I made my choice to jail there, because it didn't matter where you went. It's not like New York. You can go to White Plains and live in Bronxville or some high-end place, but you can go to Yonkers and maybe get cheaper rent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not the case here. Everywhere you go is expensive. Inland, by the beach. Good area, bad area is bad. I mean, it's just high rent.
Sounds like you're better off staying there. But you were explaining that she had an opportunity to work from home, and then you needed.
Yes.
But
and she had an opportunity to buy. She said she wanted to buy a house. I said go buy one.
Okay. That's the part I was missing. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So I said you go buy one. A great opportunity for you, and so it worked out for her. She got the first time home buyer. Me, I already had a home. I had a house in New York, so I would probably be able to benefit from that. So I said,
yeah.
And then rates were down so low, so I said do it, and it worked out that way. Not that far. I was going back to work over there in San Mateo anyway while we were living up here. I just stayed out there. I have a friend who I stay with, so it works out great. I still go over there anyways.
Yeah. I got you. Now I saw videos of dudes going in a bike. Not of you.
Okay.
He's like, what? Well, yeah, I'm gonna blast you right on the podcast episode. I saw people.
No, I was like, they caught that on film?
You're guilty as charged. Fuck it. I saw people in videos where they go in with a big-ass contractor bag, and then they load up at Dwayne Reed, say, like, under $1,000 worth of merchandise, and then roll out, and the security guy is just staring at them because there's nothing that can be done. Is that still going on?
I don't know. It just recently happened.
Yeah, it was a video that I saw, and they were basically saying California has not been coming after people who steal under $1,000. I saw this dude, like, totally load up at the Dwayne Reed or whatever. It was a CVS or a Dwayne Reed. And he just throws everything in the bag and throws it on his shoulder like Santa and rolls right out of there.
Well, shit, I might be going to a Dwayne Reed today because I didn't know about that.
I know, right?
Why not, right?
Can you have somebody video that?
I know. I'll probably be the one who gets busted and then get sent to prison for 10 years. I'll be the jackass, you know?
I'm being deported back to New York. That's the worst. No!
Deport me back to Puerto Rico.
Be like, wait, I wasn't born there.
Wait, I wasn't even... No, sir, you have to go. And you will be the farmer. You will earn that the rest of your life.
I'm going to teach you a lesson.
No, I haven't heard of that. I've heard of, just due to this COVID situation, I don't know what's going on. Maybe because of the police situation or things that have happened politically. Like, I've heard of that in the news in general, but not, like, specific to California. I'll be honest with you, I don't even watch the news anymore, or I don't even have TV service. I just have the internet. I gave up looking at the news.
I do, too. I feel, especially the past 2 years, I feel like it was too much energy, wild weather going one way or the other. You know what? I'm best working on these podcast projects, my writing, not focusing on a lot of the back and forth stuff. Sometimes you feel like it's too much.
Oh, yeah. No, it was draining. It was very draining. You know what, Leslie? It was draining. Whatever side you're with, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
But it was just very draining. It would drain me. And then top of you're piling on COVID. And then whatever life situations people have, you suck the life out of you. But I'll tell you, not having it was the greatest thing ever. Like I said, I do what you do. I don't make podcasts, but I listen to them. Anything positive or good, that's what I'm focusing on these days.
Yeah, so everybody should be thinking of more the positive and not looking to tear somebody down. Speaking of that, how long did it take for your average California coworker to realize you're from New York?
Oh, instantly. The minute the helper came around and was like, hey, man, what do you want? I says, I want a coffee and an egg sandwich. The minute I said coffee, that was dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway. I remember my buddy who went down to Georgia, he was trying to act like a local. And then he made the mistake of saying stuffing and gravy. I think he used the term gravy. And they were like, where the hell are you from? You from New York?
They know. I get people sometimes ask me, hey, can you say water for us? People who know me, they're like, yo, say water. Say water.
I think it's so funny. People do that stuff. It's kind of like, well, now you sound weird when you say stuff.
I'm like, well, yeah. Just hear how you sound to me.
Exactly.
I'm just not telling you I'm visiting your state.
I'm trying to be nice so I don't get in trouble. Do you have the funniest thing that a person in Cali has broke your balls about?
I think the funniest is the accent. It was funny because I heard myself talk one day on a recording. I was like, damn, I do have one. You know? And I think one of the other guys, he's from Texas. He became a good friend of mine, Derek. He's from Panama. And we met on the job and we stuck together for a couple of years working together. We went from job to job, and he always would break my chops. Funny story, we were working, I had just met him, and we were walking, I was walking ahead of him in the parking lot. I guess he tells the guys behind me, he says, watch this, he says, look at him, he's got such a cocky walk. From like, New York. He says, yeah, hey Bronx, look how you walk. And he starts walking like, he says, your chest all puffed out and everything. I was like, I'm just walking normal. He says, nah, that's a New York walk. Because he was working Jersey local. He says, I know how you New Yorkers walk. The funniest thing is, because he kept on saying, yo Bronx, there was a guy who was working for Verizon. It was like a big construction site. Mm-hmm. So the guy was working for Verizon, and he looks over, he goes, yeah, what's up? I turn, and Derek turns, and he goes, oh, no, I'm talking to him. He says, why, are you from the Bronx? He says, yeah, I'm from the Bronx. He says, I'm out here just for a couple of months. So we wound up meeting some other dude from the Bronx. And then Derek tells that guy, he's like, yeah, you look like you're in the Bronx, too. He walked. And he was another Spanish guy that I meet. He had a leather jacket on. He was all lined up, his hair all cut short and, like, faded. I was like, yes, a fellow Bronx guy. So it was so funny. We got to talk. I think that was pretty funny. Like, who'd have thought we'd meet another guy in the Bronx randomly?
Do you ever run into, like, a New York-style barber, or is it very different working with a California barber?
No, you know, a lot of these guys, believe it or not, a lot of the shops out here, I'm finding a lot of shops, they're all pretty much the same. They've changed. It's like going to a luxury spot. Everybody's doing the cuts and the nice, and it's not like before, they're putting the warm lotion on your face, the warm towel. It's like you get caught. Everything is like
acting like chicks.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, they'll probably start doing manicures and pedicures there too while you're getting your hair done. I don't know.
Back waxing, you know.
Yeah, I've done the supercut thing for a while just because it's easier for me and my kid, but
yeah.
I've been veering off and going towards the real barbers. I don't want to say that. That's wrong. No, I got some good barbers in supercuts.
You just insulted them like I did Red Roof Inn.
I know. I think we're going. Yeah, I probably can't go back there either anymore. Oh well.
Imagine be like, yo, listen.
And remember the Flo-bee?
Yeah. Be like, I heard you on that podcast episode. Trash me over here at Supercuts.
They're gonna make my back the hairline crooked.
You imagine you didn't see it when you rolled out?
I know.
You get teased for days. What do you miss about working in New York?
What do I miss about? I do miss. I guess that's where you came from. So yeah, like I knew a lot of people out there. You felt like comfortable, a little more comfortable, I guess, when you got on the jobs. But I guess the guys, whoever I hung out with, you come out here and you're making new friends. But a lot of these guys, they come and they go. So a lot of people, you'll see them and then all of a sudden they'll be back in their homes. And you'll probably just talk to them over the phones here and there.
But you get to tap into the whole network of different people who are tramping, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a whole lot of that here. Like I said, it is a lot of travelers. And a lot of them are like, the guys I've met have been super nice. I ran into one guy who was so funny. We ran into each other at the supermarket. He was staying in Pacifica where I was living. And I noticed his van constantly around. And he had the big IBEW sticker on the back. And a lot of them do. So I confronted him in the store. I was like, yo, man, where you from? And I'm from Local 3, and they're talking. And he was like, hey, man, you're studying for your state cert. You have to get a California state cert. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can get that, or you can get something else. In any case, he was like, I'm studying for this program to help you. He was like, here, break out your cell phone. I'll give you my password for that site, and I'll give you my info, and just take it a pat. That was pretty nice, man. You know,
hell yeah, because you never know. I could have hacked the shit out of him.
Yeah, very helpful. A lot of guys, very helpful. Hey, what can we do for you? When I got to my first shop, it wasn't even the workers at the time. I met the owners, and they were like, hey, man, you got a place to stay? Because we could recommend places. We have places for you guys. I was like, oh, man.
Sounds like a little too nice. You kind of like look at him side-eyed. Why is he trying to help me?
Hey, well, that's the thing. And I think that's coming from New York mentality. And everything is like chill here. Like the place where I was living at, it was like, you don't have to lock your front door. No one will come in. I left like a $1,500 bike out in my backyard, in my porch, front deck, and no one ever stole it. I didn't do that just randomly because I always kept it in. As I'm driving around, I'm like, how are these people leaving these things out here and no one's stealing them?
Nobody's jacking up nothing nowhere. I mean, other than the homeless people and Dwayne Reed.
There was some addicts around, but I guess they just knew. Some of them won't mess with certain things. I don't know. They just stuck to whatever, some little, some small. But it was cool. It's a different over here. They're very calm and chill. chill, a very relaxed atmosphere. The people are very nice and relaxed. I had to adapt in San Francisco because, and I thought it's a city, so I figured fast paced like New York. But they were much slower. Like the person at the grocery store, the checkout guy or girl will have a conversation with you, and you're like, oh my God, what the hell? I gotta get. You know?
Yeah. This person's a bit like casing me, looking to jack me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Why does he want to know where I'm from? Somebody waiting outside for me? What? When you start gradually, you start to ease into it, and then all of a sudden, like, I'm having conversations with the people. Like, yo, what's up, man? what'd you have for dinner last night?
You know, this funny, because my son, we were in Idaho visiting family and stuff. I had to go out for my father's funeral, and I had to go to Idaho and Eastern Oregon or whatever. We were leaving like a grocery store and the lady was having like random conversation. It's things that I remember as a kid that people used to do. And he goes, you know what I love about being out on the West Coast? Everybody's so nice.
Yeah.
You go back to assholes in New York.
I know. There's such I'll tell you, the aggression. It's funny, when I call back to the Union Hall in Local 3, I laugh, because this is like, hey, yeah, what do you want? what you do? As I'm like saying, oh, well, thank you very much. There, click the phone, I'm done, to the next person.
Yeah. Like when you call down to the main Queens line, they literally will hang that shit up.
I'm like, sometimes I need that though to get my fit. I need to call them and just be like, I need to get hung up on.
It's not even. It's almost kind of like they probably don't even think it's a big deal, but.
No, because they're just moving so fast. They probably got like 20 other calls that they're waiting on. I could just envision like the red light blinking, you know, like 20 different types. And the woman's going insane, like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah, why are you wasting my time, motherfucker?
Why is this guy trying to say thank you for? Fuck you. I gotta go.
This wraps up episode 44, part B, Tramping in Cali. I laughed the first go around, and I laughed even harder the second go around, especially that last depiction of wanting to call up the Union to hear out some aggression and have somebody hang up on you. If you're into S&M or BDSM, all you gotta do is make a phone call and they'll make you angry with their aggression, but I'm glad that we can all laugh about it. I'm happy for Brian that he has escaped and he's out into much calmer environments compared to our home local here, New York City. Believe it or not, the discussion does not end there. There is a part C, so head back into the podcast platform of your choice and go find part C to finish the discussion. I thank you for getting to this part at the end of part B on my discussion with Brian about his adventures traveling as a kid from the Bronx out in California. For more information, head over to my website at www.constructiontales.com. I thank you for listening. Peace out, Cub Scout. This wraps up another episode on the Verbally Disastrous podcast that can be found on over 20 podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Pandora Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. For more information, head over to our website at www.constructiontales.com. I thank you for listening and have a great day. This podcast is protected through the U.S. Copyright Office as well as the Writers Guild of America.